Well, today's message is going to be short for a couple of reasons. I'm still on the wrong side of the cough, but for another reason too. It's planned this way. We wanted to have an extended worship time. That's really important, and we want to be able to start our congregational meeting on time to finish all that we can. So. When I studied Abraham Lincoln's speeches, I learned that short is good, okay? That was actually one of the comments on the surveys. We'll talk about that after lunch today, all right? Well, what I had planned for today a long time ago, actually it was for a couple of weeks ago, it keeps getting shifted. We're still not going to do it quite like that. But the title today is Vision and the Things We Don't See. Vision and the Things We Don't See. There's things that we don't see. By the way, the subtitle of that is A Dot's Vision, Part 1. We'll see what happens, okay, in the next couple of weeks. Things we don't see. What are some of the things that we don't see? There's stuff you don't see. Does that mean it's not there? There's things you do see. What do you see? You know, we go back to Yeshua kept emphasizing and praying for his disciples that we have eyes that see. Eyes that see. So many times they didn't see what he saw. So many times they missed the point, like the little children. All the kids, get out of the way. No, you should have said, no, bring him to me. Why? They didn't see what he saw. But at the end of his ministry, they were getting there. They were getting there. We need to pray that we can see like he sees, see what he sees. We look at someone and sometimes don't see their value or their worth. He looks at them and sees what they can be. I pray we would have eyes like that, and then we would disciple and mentor and train people to be what they can be, because they're not there yet. Are you there yet? I am not there yet. I'm not there yet. Things we do see. Things we need to see. There's things that we need to see. What are some of those things? Well, it has to do with vision. When I said a dot's vision, okay, this congregation was founded on a specific vision. Oh, almost 30 years ago now. We're getting there. We're not quite sure the exact date because there was different times that they were meeting, and then they signed papers to be a corporation. So we're not sure the exact starting date because they were meeting prior to that. Reg and Sandy Williams, though, were a part of that original crowd way, way back when the vision was established. And we don't sit around every year and discuss the vision because the Lord gave it to us. What that is, every now and then we impart it to you, we share it. And I'm not sure I'm going to get there today. We'll see. I might give you the outline. But there's the intro to the vision, the things you don't see. What is it that we don't see? Well, an example of what we don't see, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. I like this one. Stuff you don't see. But stuff you can see. This is an incident in the life of Elisha. Verse 8, 2 Kings 6, verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. Some things don't change, do they? They just don't change. In fact, wait till we get to Daniel, and you'll see the prince of Persia. That's Iran of today. Some things just don't change. Well, Syria was making war with Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. They were making plans. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place at which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. That means he was really watchful, okay? I love some of this wording. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled. So be it today. By this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, he suspected a spy. How do they know what we're doing all the time? We have a spy among us. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, nope, there are no spies here. However, there's a guy named Elisha, who's a prophet, who is in Israel. Where else? And he tells the king of Israel the very words that you speak in your bedroom. Ooh. How can he do that? He's a prophet. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he's in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. They surrounded the city of Dothan. Pardon me. So it's surrounded. They're in trouble, right? They're surrounded. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, by the way, that's not what the word is. He's in a state of panic. The word indicates panic. We're dead. We are dead. My master, what shall we do? He's saying, there's nothing we can do. We're dead. They've got us. They've got us. So we answered, do not fear. You know what? How many times does the Bible say that? 365 times, one for each day. That may be a message for you today. Do not fear. I think that is. This is from God to us. Do not fear. Lord, I come against the spirit of fear this morning. May that evil spirit not be allowed to quench the work of the Lord in these people. May they be set free of fear in Yeshua's name. That was free, okay? That was an extra, no extra charge, as Sam would say. All right, so what should we do? We're stuck, we're going to die. He said, do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And the servant goes, I think my prophet he's gone over the edge. It's just us, you know? Looks around, there's more of us. What does he mean by that? Maybe it's some mystical, what does he see? What does he see? Doesn't see anything. Does that mean it's not there? No. So Elisha prayed, and that's the key. Prayer opens those doors. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. That's my prayer for you today, by the way. I was praying that for you all last night. Open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened his eyes, and the young man, and he saw. His eyes were opened, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Whoa! There's more of us than there are of them. I just didn't see it. Yeah. That's why you don't fear. That's why you don't fear. God is at work behind the scenes all the time. So this guy got a real lesson. Okay, we're on the right side, okay? So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray with blindness. By the way, that's not a bad prayer to pray sometimes when you're, I'm not going to use the word smuggle, but when you're like taking like Bibles into other countries and things like that. I know a lot of people who have done that, who do that. And they can go to jail for doing that. And they pray this prayer, Lord, they pray the reverse. Lord, the way you open eyes of people, please close them. And they look right at the stuff, and they say, okay, you can go. Okay? So praying for closed eyes is okay too sometimes, at certain borders. Well, he prays for blindness. Strike these people with blindness. And he struck them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way. They can't see. Nor is this the way. But follow me. I'll take you somewhere. He's leading the enemy's army. They're blind. He's leading them somewhere. Okay? And I will bring you to the man whom you seek. He said, you guys are looking for the king of Israel? I'll take you to him. But not quite how they expected. He led them to Samaria. Samaria is an ancient city. You can go there today. I've been there. It was the capital of the north back at this time. So it was, when they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they might see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. Whoops! And they were inside a walled city of Samaria, right in the midst where the king of Israel is. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? But he answered, "You shall not kill them." Now, this is an interesting lesson that we learn about dealing with our enemies. Okay, Yeshua taught this, and the disciples practiced this. They learned the lesson. Have I ever said these are easy things? I still am looking for that verse. Some of the stuff he tells us to do is easy. It's simple. It's not. But this is an example. Look at this. This is absolutely amazing. The king wants to kill him, but he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow?" Well, no, we just make them slaves. That's not what he's going to do either. He says, "Set food and water before them." Food and water? Yeah, feed them. Give them a dinner, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. What? Then he prepared a great feast for them. This is not what they expected. They're inside the walled city of the enemy. There is Israel's walled city. And a great feast is made for them. You know, this is the heart of God. And maybe this should be our heart. Maybe, I'll give you some examples of this in a minute. Let's wind this part up. He gave them a feast. And then he sent them away, and they went to their master. He set them free to go home. But what happens next? Because of kindness, so the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Look at that. Kindness stopped the meanness. They gave them a banquet, a dinner. Many years ago, when I was a youth pastor, I was in Linwood. Anybody know where Linwood is? Okay. Well, I've made several mistakes in my life, and I'm certainly open to confessing them before all of you. One mistake I made was that I bought a Vega, a brand new Vega. Anybody here, everyone to Vega? Yeah, okay, y'all know what I mean, right? Okay, good. It was orange. But it wasn't the yucky orange. It was a bright, it was almost red, but it wasn't quite. It was orange. It really had a good paint job. That's about it. Anyway, I was a youth pastor in Linwood. And so my first day when I take my new car, I went to the church every afternoon and I would play games with the kids in the neighborhood and play basketball and minister to them and pray with them. I'm being a youth pastor to all the neighbors. Somebody took a key and went right down the car, keyed my car, right? Oh, man. Worse than that, then they came with baseball bats and broke the windows on the bus and the headlights, and vandalism continued. So what are we going to do? We're going to set a watch at night and catch them and hurt them and lock them up? What are we going to do? Well, we meaning myself and my pastor, who, you know what? The first thing he wanted to do was clobber them. The church bus, every window was broken. You know what we did? We had a neighborhood banquet. A banquet for the hoods. The neighborhood banquet. That's exactly what we did. We threw dinner for all the hoods. And it was free, so they came. And you know what? We were nice to them, gave them this great meal. It never happened again. Vandalism stopped. Didn't have to hit anybody or lock them up. We did this, and it worked. They were nice. On one of our Israel trips, we stopped in Amsterdam, and we had friends there who were missionaries with a street ministry. And the women would minister to the prostitutes. And over there, it's just amazing. It's absolutely amazing. But what they would do, how do they get a hearing to share a witness? They would bake them cookies and take them warm cookies. And when they hand the cookies, they start talking to them. It opens the door. When you give somebody, it works for me, give me a fresh cookie and I'll talk to you, okay? Boy, a little box of cookies in the Starbucks and you got me for the afternoon. Now stay awake and everything. But people have learned that you can do acts of kindness and you get interesting response. The enemy of Israel stopped being mean. Israel is doing this today, by the way. Are you aware of that? They're giving support and money and food to their enemies. That's not on CNN. But they are. They are being a biblical example today of blessing their enemies. Why isn't that on the news? It's not news. But they're doing it. They're doing it. Literally, The terrorists are getting food and a blessing from Israel. Okay? And it's their choice to do that. Well, things they don't see. What's around us that we don't see? What's around us that we don't see? To believe, here's a quote I got somewhere. To believe the impossible, you must see the invisible. Do you see it? Do you see the invisible? You ever seen that? Elisha had what's called prophetic insight. He saw spiritually. He had spiritual eyes. He had eyes that see. That's what we're praying for, eyes that see. His servant was in a panic. What are we going to do? We're going to die because of what he saw. But he didn't see what Elijah saw. He saw this much. There's more. There's a whole army out there? Sure, there was. He didn't see it. That's what he didn't see. His fear was keeping him from having the right vision. His vision was opened, though, because of prayer. Prayer opens those doors. And you can see the invisible. You can see the invisible. It happened through prayer. Now, if I were to say this morning, don't do this, okay? How many of you have seen a real angel? Don't raise your hand. Okay, if I were to ask that question, some hands would go up in this room. And it's legit. People who have those kind of experiences don't go walking around flaunting them. They're careful how they share them. How many in this room, don't raise your hands, have seen Yeshua? Some, at least one or two, hands would go up legitimately, but people that have had those experiences don't go around flaunting them and write books and make movies. It's a very personal thing, but it does happen. And I have been praying that your eyes will be opened to the things you don't see that are there. We need to pray that we see what he sees. When we look at people, what does he see when you look at them? When you look at them, you know, people you don't like, picture someone you don't like much. Didn't take long, did it? You got a whole list. I got a list right here. I'm bringing my list to the congregational meeting. I went ready to go here. How does he see them? You know, those people in the first few chapters of Acts were very fearful of a man named Saul of Tarsus. But what did Yeshua see when he looked at Saul of Tarsus? He sees Paul of a missionary. And he writes half the New Testament. The other people say, you got to be kidding me. Which is exactly what they said when he came to faith. There is no way. We're not letting him teach over here. Because of what he was. But Yeshua didn't look at what he was. He looks at what he can be. I pray we have eyes to see people, especially our children, of what they can be. And invest in them. We need to invest in them. I've said this before. Some of the greatest Bible teachers I've ever known, they came out of poor families. They couldn't afford to go to school, but somebody believed in them. Somebody saw their potential and financed them to go to school. Boy, was that a good investment. So that's a part of how this works. Investing in our young people, into their future. Do you see what they can be? I got to tell you, we have a good group, and we'll tell you who they are. At the congregational meeting, we have a good group going to the Messiah Conference. Okay, I'll back up one of the speakers here. And our leaders there, David Chernoff and Joel and all of our leaders, okay, they wear suits and ties and all this kind of stuff. A number of years ago, I was at the marketplace and one of the old timers there had pictures when we were first beginning. And here's people that we know and love that look just like hippies. Long hair, beards, no shoes. And they looked like they were hippies, actually. And yet God grabbed those guys. And now they're our leaders. God saw what they could be. They were arguing back then. They were arguing over, should we have dance in our worship services? Those were the adults. Because the adults couldn't come to a conclusion, the teens just began to dance in the worship services. And that's where our dance came from. They just did it. Pretty soon, Mom and Dad go, well, they're doing it, so... Yes, we, you know, that's exactly what happened. But God saw what they could be. You're talking about people now who have birthed many, many albums with new music because it was in them. God put it there. But people saw their potential. Okay, I hope you're committed to pray for Deborah Klein and her future, holy cow, my goodness gracious, this is just beginning. This, wow. Get her CD and pray for her. The doors would be opened all over the world. I was getting some ideas sitting right here. Where do we go where they might want to sing in Spanish? Let's see, how about Montevideo? What do you know? Yeah, okay. What we can't see is still there. This is a true story. I know this man. He's legit. Many years ago in a country in South America, you know when the drums start beating, you have to go to your house and kind of lock everything up with family and start praying. But you don't worry until the drums have stopped, right? Well, the drums stopped. And there was silence. And then the bad guys all went away. So a couple days later, he just happened to say, you know, remember the other night when you guys were all out here with your spears and bows and arrows and all that, your clubs? Yeah, what was that all about? Well, our witch doctor said we needed to kill you because of the message you were bringing, so we came to kill you. Okay, why didn't you kill me? Well, when we got to your house, there were four large shining men with flaming swords on each corner of the house. Well, he didn't see that. They did. The bad guys were, okay, we're out of here. God does that kind of stuff all the time. All the time. It's legit. The missionaries who were praying with their eyes closed didn't see it. We're still there. What you don't see can still be there. We need to pray that what we see is what he sees, and what we feel is what he feels, the heart connection. When you study philosophy, you study Pascal, and he said this, human knowledge must be understood to be believed. Human knowledge, that's right. The Bible says, though, that spiritual knowledge is the reverse. It must be believed to be understood. It's the reverse. You have to believe first. Paul says it this way, 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We're talking discernment is what opens the eyes. Discernment. It's a spiritual gift. Why don't you ask for it? I have a hard time thinking God's going to say, no, I don't want to give you discernment. I want to let you make all these mistakes. Come on. Ask for the gift of discernment. Ask for it. I mentioned Daniel. I won't turn there, but in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel begins to pray. He prays intently for like 3 weeks. No answer. An angel shows up, all weary. You okay? Yeah, I came. When you began to pray, I was sent with the answer to your prayer. Well, what took you so long? Well, we had a little problem with a prince of Persia, a demon. The demon over Persia, over Iran of today, hindering prayers going to Israel. Still going on today, you guys. Still going on today. But he made it through, and he came, and he brought Daniel the answer to prayer. And he says, nah, I have to go back now and fight some more. I'm having Michael come and help me now. Michael, the archangel, the guardian angel of Israel, who I think is still there as well. Okay. But Daniel wasn't aware of that. So what did Daniel do? He kept on praying. He didn't stop, and the answer came. It was slowed down a bit because we have opposition. We have opposition. But going back to 2 Kings, there's more of us than there are of them. How do I know that? Well, I read the Bible. How many demons are there? What's the percent? How many demons versus angels? Yeah, okay. We have 2/3 on our side. They have 1/3. You know, keep that stuff in mind. It's important. Okay? Hebrews 13 says this, and I think Susan and I have had this experience. It says, be careful and watchful when you entertain strangers, because many have entertained angels unaware. We've had some experiences to where when the person's gone, we go, was that an angel? Okay, was that? That was strange and different. So again, sometimes you see something that may not be what you think it is. So be nice to him. Be nice. Be nice. Angels unaware. Angels unaware. Well, Thursday night we ended Luke. and with my favorite chapter, the end, the last chapter, chapter 24, the resurrection. But it's an eye-opener, because several times what happens in that chapter is Yeshua goes to people who spiritually don't get it, and he opens their eyes. Better than that, he opens the scriptures, and he opens their understanding to the scriptures. And how did he do it? He didn't say, okay, look, here's the nail holes in my hands and my feet and the hole in my... No. He said, let me take you to this book. Of course, it was scrolls back then. Let me show you where I am. And he took them to the Tanakh and showed in the Tanakh the prophecies. And they were marveling. And then they invited him to dinner. Maybe you should invite strangers to dinner sometime. And he prayed. What did he pray at the beginning of the meal? Come on. Faster. Come on. Hey, say it. Faster. Say it in Hebrew. Yeah, he said that. What kind of... It says, as he broke bread and he blessed it. That's what he was saying. But what kind of bread was that? It was matzah, because this is it's the first day of the week, Passover week. It's matzah. Now, the way it's written... And if I were to have you come up here and do this cold turkey, you would do it right, I'm sure. But the host would take the matzah. We do this, okay? And as we say the blessing, we lift it up, right? As he did that, the sleeves came down, and they saw his hands. It says he was revealed to them in the breaking of bread. All of a sudden, pow, they saw, it's you. Because they were not believing in the resurrection. They do now. They do now, and I believe there's one more thing he did at that point in time. I think he said the blessing like you just did, but I think as he broke bread, it's matzah. Was that a picture of? I think he said, this is my body broken for you. And they saw him, and he vanished. Because he had other places to appear that day, actually. He did. And the next place, these guys went back to Jerusalem to the meeting room. And everybody was in a big buzz, all chit-chatting, all the things going on. He's alive, we saw him, Peter saw him, the women saw him. An interesting verse, it says, and Yeshua appears in their midst. He just, right there, in their midst. But my question to the group Thursday night was, how long had he been there before he did that? Maybe a while. Maybe a while. He said, Matthew 18, for where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. Good chance of him being here today. And like we shared Thursday night, Lord, you have permission to, right here is just fine. Well, let's just take the beamer. We have some questions for you, though. Could you please stay for the congregational meeting? That'd be good. Sort this stuff out. Could you submit a survey? And of course, we would have people who would disagree with that story, wouldn't we? We would. I don't like that. We began this morning with the great scribe, Ezra, who wrote the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. And he prayed a prayer we ought to always pray. Open my eyes that I might behold and I might see wonders in your word. That's what Yeshua did on the road to Emmaus. He showed them the wonders in the word about him. Prophets all talked about him. This book talks about him. It reveals him. Reveals him. And I pray that his vision matches up with our vision. That we don't make plans like at a meeting today and say, Lord, here's our plans. Would you please bless these? No. It's the other way around. We say, we have heard from you, and we are going to do your plans. So you pray. You pray that you have eyes that see, ears that hear, a heart that connects to his heart, that we see what he sees. May our vision be his, and our plans be his, that we are doing his plan, not our plan. May our hearts connect to his heart. It's a heart connection. May we see what he sees. Pray with me. Lord, open our eyes, that we might see the wonders in your word, that we might see how all the prophets reveal you, all the holidays reveal you. Lord, I thank you. In the middle of the whole book is the book of Psalms. It's a music book, the book of Psalms. Music is from your heart. Lord, anoint with a double anointing, Deborah Klein and her family and friends and her ministry of music and dance and worship, may they hear these things be led into your presence. Open our eyes, open our hearts that we might see as you see. And then behave as you behave, to extend the hand of kindness and love even to those who appear to be our enemy, and bless them. Yeshua said, bless those who persecute you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, help us to be like you. Open our eyes. Open our hearts. In Yeshua's name. I'd like to invite the worship team to come back. They have something for us.